Two new surveys find that Americans are worried about their privacy in the online world, but maybe giving up hope they'll ever have any of it.
In a study released Friday by the University of Pennsylvania, over 90% of Americans disagreed with this statement. If companies give me a discount, it's a fair exchange for them to collect information about me without my knowing. And a majority were unhappy with their uses of their consumer data. But a majority also said that marketers were going to end up with their data no matter what they did.
A Pew survey released last month found similar results. So it looks like we're worried about our privacy. We don't expect to have it, and we may be giving up any hope of getting it. Julia Angwin joins us now. She's an investigative journalist at ProPublica, and she looked at these issues in her book, Dragnet Nation, A Quest for Privacy, Security, and Freedom in a World of Relentless Surveillance. Julia, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here.
So these surveys, there's a perception that people have that they don't have any privacy on the internet. How real is that perception?
I mean, I think that it's very real. The truth is that we don't have any laws in this country that really regulate consumer data collection by commercial companies. We've seen a lot of news about Snowden and the NSA, but it's worth remembering that there actually are laws that govern what the NSA is doing. What Google, Facebook, and all the other tech companies do is whatever they want.
And this isn't just internet searches, though that might be worrisome enough. In your book, you talked about using your cell phone, driving your car in some cases. What all out there is tracked that we might not even think about?
I mean, maybe it's a better question to say what isn't tracked. But, you know, your phone is really the best and most perfect tracking device. I mean, unfortunately, most of us have it in our hand almost all of the time. And it's transmitting to all sorts of things, not just the cell phone towers, but local Wi-Fi, local Bluetooth connections. And actually, most of those things are set up to track you. A lot of stores are using Wi-Fi to see who's walking in. There's people who use Wi-Fi surveillance, and then there's the government that goes to the cell phone companies for information about your location. So the cell phone is constantly sending out information about you, and you have it with you all the time. You know, the Stasi or some secret police of olden days would have loved such a thing.
So if I took an aggregate of all my internet searches and the places I've been while holding my cell phone and my words with friends connections and stuff like that, is someone out there, say a corporation, a commercial entity, lumping all that together to form a picture of me and then figure out ways to sell things to me? What else are they doing with it?
I mean, they are definitely trying to lump all that together. There's an industry of data brokers who used to sell just mailing lists so that you get that junk mail at home. They used to just get information from the white pages and your magazine subscriptions and property records, but now they're trying to add all the information that you're doing online and all the digital information to those dossiers. And then they're in the business of buying and selling those profiles for marketing purposes. And so, yes, they're trying. The one thing that I kind of hold out hope is that it's really hard to put all this data together. You know, Google doesn't want to give up the data it has. It's not going to necessarily sell it to those companies because it's a proprietary trade secret of their own. So I have some hope that the competition between these companies will keep there from being a giant Uber dossier about everyone.
Now, even if someone's okay with, say, Google or Target or whoever having this aggregated data, there's a concern what if it falls into wrong hands or wronger hands. It seems like everything is hackable these days. Are criminal enterprises getting into this data that's collected on us and making use of it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was that hack that was just disclosed last week where the entire security clearance database of the U.S. government was hacked. And that was definitely, I think they said, by China. So I think we have a situation where everything is hackable and everything is being hacked. Target has been hacked. Google has been hacked. The U.S. government has been hacked. The IRS has been hacked. I can't think of an entity that hasn't. And so we do have to worry, even if you're not concerned about the marketers or government surveillance, the fact is this data is falling into the hands of criminals every day.
So one of these studies we mentioned raises the concern that Americans feel a sense of resignation. We like the notion that we could have privacy. There's nothing we can do about it. We give up. If we want to participate, we have to put up with this. Do you think that's a common feeling out there?
It is a common feeling, and actually it's a completely rational emotional response. The truth is, we have very little control. You know, in my book, I conducted this exercise of trying to see how much of my data I could protect. And I put a huge amount of effort into an entire year. I had all sorts of privacy-protecting services and fake names and little cases to carry my cell phone in. And the truth is that I wasn't even that successful. I would say I was probably about 50% successful. So people are not wrong to think that it's a really difficult task. That said, I do think that we can all make a little bit wiser choices. For instance, I use a privacy-protecting search engine, DuckDuckGo, that doesn't keep any information about me, so that, you know, Google has files about every search everyone ever does, and I just didn't want that to be stored forever in their database. So there are some things that you can do. You can choose a different product that would protect you more.
Talking to Julia Angwin about internet surveillance, corporate, government, criminal, and otherwise, and our response to it, if any. And Julia, one choice, I haven't tried that web browser, but a lot of times you download something, you buy something online, you go to a certain website, and there are terms of service. And I guess if I was really conscientious and wanted to protect myself, I'd read these things and make a rational decision about whether I wanted to play or not. I never do. I just say yes and go on to do the thing I want to do, because that takes me 40 seconds and I'm done. So is that where most of us are now?
Yeah, it's not a reasonable expectation for people to read all of those terms of services. In fact, there was one professor who did a study. If you read all the terms of service that you were supposed to read in a given year, I think it would take 200 hours. And so, you know, that's not a reasonable expectation for an average person. And the truth is, even if you read them, they don't tell you really what they're going to do. They basically say, we reserve the right to do anything we want. So there you are. I think we're in a situation where really, probably to curb that type of thing, you would need laws. We're one of the only countries in Western nations that doesn't have a law that simply requires data collectors to show you what they have about you and delete it if it's wrong, or correct it.
So, Julia, in your reporting on this, are there more and more efforts to get that kind of law or other protections for consumers to prevent that data being collected, or at least know what's being collected and what's done with it?
You know, the Obama administration has actually proposed something they call the Privacy Bill of Rights, which would require commercial data gatherers to provide some level of transparency about what they're doing. But that has been stalled in Congress for several years. And as you can see from the fight over the Snowden reforms, it took 2 years for Congress to do sort of the bare minimum reforms after the Snowden revelation. So it's hard to imagine that that is going to move quickly.
So you, for your book in part, really tried to protect yourself and protect your privacy and protect your data, and you said 50% successful. Are you, after having gone through that experience, one of these people feeling resignation, if I'm going to participate in the world as it is, in the electronic world as it is, I have to accept that people have this out me and I don't know what they're doing with it?
I mean, I do have a level of resignation, but the other thing is that I have really changed my habits. So I basically do almost everything that I did in the book, because I realized that it wasn't that hard to do the things that were successful, right? Like putting a little bit of software on my web browser so that those ads that follow you around the internet don't follow me around, or using encryption to have more secure conversations with other people who use encryption. So I have continued doing all that stuff, but I recognize that I'm probably not the norm, and most people aren't going to go to the trouble.
Julia, thanks for having this unencrypted conversation with us today.
Thank you.
That was Julia Angwin. She's an investigative journalist at ProPublica and author of Dragnet Nation, A Quest for Privacy, Security, and Freedom in a World of Relentless Surveillance, responding to a couple surveys out about our concerns and fears about our data privacy.